in my
soul. Say it now, say it now. Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, Mom, and tell me what he's been to you.
Beat the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Blind, but now I see. It's grace that brought us, and grace will lead us on. And grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. The next voice you will hear will be none other than our pastor, Pastor Dunkley. Oh Lord, but now.
In my body, think with my mind, speak with my mouth, design my will as thine, and let the world look on me and see Jesus. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Yield and steal in thy hand. Have thy own way, Lord. Have thy own way. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Jesus. 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 And the church said, amen. Absent of Reverend Belvin, Evangelist Labelay, and to the officers and members of this church, it is just good for us to be here. We thank God for this youth choir. Let's give them a hand. They've done a marvelous job this day. As you heard the music, and thank God for Arthur for carrying on in the music department. Amen. Y'all didn't know he could play so well, did you? Amen. They had a musician to come up on yesterday and rehearse with the choir and record the music. So it sounds like the musician is there sitting. Amen. And so I've asked that the youth choir directors get with our senior choir director and the brotherhood, and we'll try and get him to come for a rehearsal for those groups. And that's a whole lot cheaper than having a musician. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with a musician now, but we do what we got to do. But I thought that that was a great job that they did, this morning. And so we can do the same thing with our other choirs. And each Sunday we will have music. Amen. Ain't God good? Yeah. All of the time. And so that piano was created for that. So let's let us utilize it. Amen. I'd like to bring up a thought this morning from the 10th chapter of Mark, the Gospel according to Mark, the 10th chapter, beginning at verse 17 through 15. And as Dr. Cecil Clark would often say, when you have the time, read the entire 10th chapter of Mark. Begin at 10th chapter, beginning at verse 17. If you will stand, amen, in the reading of the word of God, please. I will not read the entire passage of scripture that I will speak from, but I will begin with verse 17. Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, kneeled before him, and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. Now, the very key verse that I want to bring to us is verse 21. That's what the text is at, verse 21. And Jesus, looking at him, the young rich ruler, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. May God bless the reader and hearer of his word. If I can have your attention for a little while this morning, I want to talk from the subject torn between two loves. Now for your mind, get to wondering. I'm not talking about love between a man and a woman. And I do believe that somebody here this morning has been in that predicament where you was torn between the love the woman had for you and the love you thought you had for somebody else. But I'm not going there this morning. I'm dealing with a relationship between man and God. Now, we know that God loves us. Yeah. And he loves us with an unfailing love. He demonstrated his love that he gave his son for us, allowed him to die in our place. So it's established that he loves us. In 1 John, he tells us that God loved us first. So that's established that he loves us. Yeah. But the point I want to bring in is that even though God loves man, man does not always love God in return. Yeah. Yeah. So we are torn between the love that God has for us and the love that we have for the world. That's where I'm going this morning. Many Christians are torn between two loves. We're torn between the promises of the Savior and the pleasures of sin. Hebrews 11 and 25 tells us that Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the peoples of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. It only lasts a season, temporarily. Yeah. Too many of God's people are torn between Blessing Boulevard and Sin Central, torn between the land of more than enough and the land of not enough, all because we refuse to surrender all to Christ, refusing to separate oneself from the world of everything goes. And I want to stop there just a minute. We live in a time now that the church has lost her morals. The world's standards are much higher than the churches of the day. We live in a time now, you might as well say amen. We live in a time now when people can do whatever they want to do. Still sing in the choir. Still be a deacon. Still be a usher. And still preach from the pulpit. The standards are down now, and we wonder what's wrong with the children. We wonder what's wrong with the community. We wonder what's wrong with the world. We have dropped the standards. Do whatever you want to do. Shack up or whatever. And come to church, come to the altar, get a prayer, get a blessing, and go back into your sinful life. Torn between God's love for you and your love for the world. Now it just happened yesterday. No, it's been going on a long time. Because Elijah the prophet said to Israel one day, how long will you halt and limp between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. They wouldn't even answer. Silent consent. They were torn between God's love for them and their love for idolatry. The Bible warns us, church, against loving the world. 1 John 2:15 through 17 says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of God, it's not of the Father, but is of the world. As saints of God, we must reject the world for what it is. And for what it does. The world is passing away. It's temporary. But God's will is everlasting and unchangeable. And only Christ can give you peace of mind. Only Christ can give you unspeakable joy. In the text, we find a young, rich ruler. He has power. He has prestige. He has authority, he has vitality, and he come running to Jesus. All right. He didn't do like Nicodemus. Nicodemus slipped in at night. Uh-huh. It's all right, just as long as you get up and meet up with Jesus. But he came at night. But Jesus is on the road going somewhere else, and this man come running in the crowd. Yeah. Kneels down before Jesus. Yeah. When the last time you saw somebody running to Jesus? Kneel down before Jesus. For the man was of wealth, and to bow down before Jesus indicated respect and humility. Yeah. Young man, with all of his wealth, he was missing something. Yeah. With all of his talents and all of his grand, he was missing something. Yeah. With all that he had in the community, no doubt whenever he walked into the crowd, they all worship him and they all applaud him. With all of that, he still was missing something. And can I say something to you this morning? If you don't have Jesus, you're missing something. You're missing the most important element of your life. And he asked the question, good teacher. You know, he saw more in Jesus than the fact that Jesus was a teacher. Because in that day, the rabbi, which is another word for teacher and master, was not referred to as good. But he said, good teacher. And Jesus said, well, now, I only want somebody's good is God.
In other words, what he was saying is that, yet I am God, but yet right now I'm the teacher. And he wanted this young man to think for himself. He wanted to know, what can I do to inherit eternal life? What shall I do that I may share in the life of the kingdom of God? What can I do to have peace, the peace of God? And I come by to tell you, my brothers and sisters, things will not give you peace. Things will not give you blessings. Things will not give you joy. Things will not give you peace of mind. You need Jesus. Now, without denying he was himself good, Jesus reminded the man that no one is compared to God. No one is good except God. And he asked him, he said, you know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. And rather than saying covenant, he said, do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. The Ten Commandments, the first five deals with man's relationship with God. But the last five deals with man's relationship with himself and man. Yeah. Teacher declared, all these things, he says, I've kept since I was a child. Though he was a man of irreproachable moral character, no, he was a man with a good report, good reputation. He had kept all of the law. But he forgot to read Isaiah 53, where it says that, for we all, like sheep, have turned everyone to his own way. And so I know he had that, because at that time, you know, Jesus, when he first come on the scene, he read from the scroll of Isaiah. But he had misreading that. In other words, what Isaiah said, we all, as Paul said, have sinned and come short of the glory. Yeah. Now, you know, you got a lot of people, they don't smoke. Hallelujah. They don't smoke because they either got a health problem or they just didn't like to smoke. I wasn't a smoker. They don't drink. Because they're taking medicine and they don't want the medicine getting mixed up with the drinking. They don't slip around because they just can't walk around. But they always can point a finger at you. And you got some people in church be there every Sunday and go home. No, they don't even get home. On their way home, child, let me tell you something. Yeah, he preached, but he ain't do nothing but metal. He didn't do nothing but talk about people today. Yeah, that's all he did. On the phone, gossiping. And I read somewhere in the Bible where it said, the gospel will not enter the kingdom of God. Maybe you don't drink. Maybe you don't smoke. But you do something wrong. You think something wrong. And he said, when you have broken one law, you broke them all. They set up, you know, in amen or whatever. On their way to hell. Hallelujah. We all got something wrong with us. That don't give you a license to go wrong, but something is wrong with all of us. Something is missing in every life in this church. Somebody got an issue. I don't care how much Holy Ghost you got. You got an issue. You got something that's keeping you from being all God wants you to be. You got your eyes on somebody else. You ought to look at that fellow you see in the mirror in the morning. Deal with that person. We all are torn between two love. We are torn between the love that God has for and the love we have from the world. That's three things I'm going to set down. Look at this young man's dilemma. Though he was morally good, had a good report in the community, no doubt, obeyed and honored his parents. But the text says Jesus looked at him and loved him. Hallelujah. Do you know he loved you this morning? I don't care what you've done. He still loves you. I don't care what you did yesterday. I don't care what you're thinking right now. He still loves you. He don't love the stuff you do, but he loves you. And he'll never stop loving you. Let me see, can I fix it where you understand what I'm talking about? Those of you that got children or grandchildren, do you stop loving them when they do wrong? If they take your money, do you stop loving them? If they cuss you out, do you stop loving them? And you got some that will do that. Talk back to you. You still love that child because you gave birth to that child. You love him. You don't want him to do what he do, but you don't stop loving him just because he do wrong. And God don't stop loving you because you do wrong. He loved him. He's torn between Jesus' love for him and his love for his possession. No man can serve two masters, my darling. You can't serve two masters. You're going to either hate one or love the other one. And my daughter, you got to get real. Stop playing with God. Stop playing with God. And I don't need no help this morning. Stop playing with him. You can't hold you. You're going to hold on to one and you're going to despise them. You can't serve God in manner. You can't serve God in money. You got to be real with God and surrender your life. This man was in a dilemma. The great theologian Spurgeon once said, I have now concentrated all my prayers into one. And that one prayer is this, that I may die to self and live wholly to God. You got to die to yourself. Get out of your selfishness. Get out of your self-centeredness. Get out of your self-interest. You got to die to self to live for Christ. Jesus said to him, boy, one thing, thy like it. You know you don't need but one match to burn up a city. You don't need but one lie to destroy somebody's reputation, break up a home. You don't need but one word to bring tears from your eyes. You don't need but one person to destroy a church, cause dissension to go through it. You just need one. Jesus said, you gave me 12, but one is of the devil. I still got 11. So every 12, you got one devil that's trying to tear the church up. But I got news for you. You stay with the Lord. Let them do what they want. If they want to go to hell, let them go. You just tell them what does say the Lord. One thing you're lacking, all that you have, I want you to sell everything you got. Give to the poor and have treasures in heaven. What is it that you love this morning more than anything else? Are you willing to give it up? What is it? Some folks love their children more than they love God. Some folks love themselves more than they do God. Some folks love their car more than they do God. I know a guy. He wipe on his car all day long. He get off of work. You go to a job. I'm going to tell you where he work at. You go on his job. He out there. He get home. He do the same thing. Guess y'all say, I don't know. Well, been by his house. Come by your house. He do the same thing. He said, Ralph, let me come take care of your car. I did him a favor or whatever. I said, well, come on. The brother wiped on my car so long with my wife's car. I said, that's good. You gonna wipe the paint off of it. You know, he just wiped. I mean, he was clean. I mean, it was spotless, but that wasn't, no. You know, he done fell in love with the car. And he just wiped and wiped and wiped and wiped. I said, brother, that's good. I appreciate it. He asked me again. I said, well, I'm gonna let you know. He put too much time in that car. I paid somebody to watch. They don't put that much time in it. But that's his. That's what he loved. The car. His car. He cleaning your car. He loved that. But Jesus wanna be fine. Nothing wrong with having a nice car. Nothing wrong with having a nice home, having nice clothes. Just don't let that become your God. His possession possess him rather than him possessing the possession. Like one thing, and that was his possession stood between him and God. So what is it but stand between you and God? And secondly, we see his worldly disappointment. He was not blameless, as he maintained, because he loved his possession more than he did his neighbor. Leviticus 19 and 18 says in the Old Testament, he had access to that to love your neighbor, because God is his Lord. He has allowed his possession to rule his heart. He was caught up in things. He refused to obey Christ's command. Jesus said in the word of God, if you love me, if you really love God, you will obey his commands if you really love him. And he left, he came running, but he left limping, head hanging down, grieved, sad, in sorrow. For the Bible said he had great possession. But he learned something, my darling, and I want you to learn something this morning. Church, there are some things in life that money can't buy. Did you know that? Yeah. I don't care how much money you have, there are some things your money just can't buy. Money will buy food, but it won't buy your appetite. Money will buy medicine, but it won't buy you some help. Money will buy you a Bible, but it can't buy you salvation. Money will buy you a house, but it can't buy your home. Money will buy a diamond ring, but it can't buy love. You can pay $1,000 for a diamond ring and put it on a finger, but that won't make her love you. Money will buy a church pew for you to sit comfortable in, but it won't buy salvation. The love of money is the root of all evil. That's why we're in the economic the condition we're in. Greed. Greed. We just can't get enough of stuff. Greed. That's why we're maxing out the credit card. Greed. Here we got these here on Wall Street giving themselves billions of dollars raises and what have you, and yet they're at the White House begging for money. Greed. America has become greed, filled with greed, and it slipped into the church. We are more concerned about the numbers in the pew than souls. We're building these life centers, and they lock down all week long. Anything that got life ought to be open, ought to be given life. But we buy them because X church over here got one, X church over here got one, so we got to have one. But then we lock it up. The church is on lockdown all week long, and the devil is open 24/7. We come a couple of hours on Sunday. Some of us don't come no more to next Sunday. Hour on Wednesday. About 3 hours in a week, the church is doing something. And the devil is operating 24/7. Something wrong with that preacher. Because we are more concerned about what's going on in Marksville and what's going on the TV. I know I'm right. Whether you go along with it or not. But the church got to turn around. These children are hurting. Their parents are hurting. And we sitting up here like everything is all right. They need help. And what are you going to do about it? We too busy having Red Hat Sunday, Blue Dress Sunday, 100 men in black, 100 women in white. We too busy with programs. What about people's soul? What about hurting people? What are we doing about that? Salvation, those that are lost. Here we can't get one program together before we gone trying to get another together. Hallelujah. Amen. And you got the same people that had one of them programs. Same people who being saved. What it got to do with salvation? It's time to turn around, my darling.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events of the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. midweek service on Wednesday night at 6.